بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وصلی اللہ علی سیدنا محمد و آلہ الطاہرین اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل محمد.
Okay, from that highest state of yaqeen, now we come to the lowest state, which is Islam. That is just a stage in which we get acquainted to the principles of faith. It's a superficial encounter. Yes. Of iman. From that highest state of iman, which was yaqeen, we come to the lowest state of religion, which is Islam. And of course, Islam is used in different contexts. One Islam is even the highest state, which is total submission to God. But this is a different sort of classification that we are going through. That's the common understanding from the Quran and from the Hadith, that Islam is before iman. Islam is just a superficial encounter with faith. Now, what is this superficial encounter? Usually we say whoever says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a Muslim. Actually, whoever says this starts to become a Muslim. But they have to observe certain things to be regarded as Muslims. Of course, by saying that, our relationship with them would change. For example, the marriage between that person and a Muslim person would become permissible, and different sort of rulings which would entail that sort of shahadatain. However, there are other things that a person should observe to be regarded as someone who has accepted Islam. Now, let's see what are these. Now, there are five pillars of faith of Islam, which are mentioned in many, many different traditions, both in Sunni and Shia traditions. Now, one of them is from Sahih Muslim, which is of course, a very famous hadith, إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامُ بُنِيَ عَلَىٰ خَمْسٍ. Islam is based on five things. شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And of course, and the messenger is his, Muhammad is his messenger. وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَصِيَامِ رَمَضَانِ وَحَجَّ الْبَيْتِ. Islam is built on five things. Testimony to لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, performing salat, paying zakat, fasting the Ramadan, and pilgrimage to the house. Now, you may say that we know many Muslims who do not practice these things. Can we call them Muslims? Not in totality. They have not totally accepted Islam, let alone faith. Faith is a different thing. They have partially accepted Islam. Now, you may say that we know people who perform all these things. However, for example, they violate other rules of Islam. Say, for example, they do not observe hijab or they drink, something like that. We regard them as Muslims who sin. As Muslims who sin. Okay? However, because they have accepted these five pillars and because Islam is based on these five, then we would say that, yeah, they have totally, not partially, accepted Islam and they practice Islam because these five things are the pillars. Whoever have them but violating other laws, for example, would be a sinner Muslim. Whoever does not accept these five or do not practice these five, then they are partially Muslims. They are not fully Muslims. We have this hadith, you have probably heard this before, that whoever has the ability to go to Hajj, the means to go to Hajj, and they do not go to Hajj, on the day of judgment, they will be resurrected. And God asks them, which nation you want to be included in, Jews or Christians? Now, he would say, well, of course, I was a Muslim. And he would be said, sorry, Islam was based on five pillars. You didn't go to Hajj, so you cannot be regarded as a Muslim. The hadith shows that these five pillars are very, very important. They are actually the principles on which Islam is based. So, Wouldn't the mu'minun do these things? Yeah, of course, the mu'minun have to do these things because iman is one degree above Islam. However, their practice of these, their understanding is firstly deeper, is more sincere, and they do additional things as well, which we will inshallah see what iman is later on. Now, the same hadith we have in Kafi, that was from a Sunni source, Sahih Muslim. The same hadith we have in Shia sources, Bunya al-Islam ala khamsan. Islam is based on five things. Ala salat, wa zakat, wa sawm, wa al-hajj. Salat and zakat and fasting and hajj and wilaya. And people are not called to anything same as wilaya. Is there a meaningful difference between these two traditions? Can anyone tell me? Can anyone judge between these? Because here in Shi'i sources we say we have that Islam is based on five things. The four, of course, practice. Salat, zakat, fasting and hajj. The four main practice of Islam. Practices of Islam. And then in the first hadith we have shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. In the second hadith in Shi'i sources we have walaya. Is wilaya a component of iman or Islam? Iman. How do you tally between these two? Because here, if we say that anyone who does not believe in wilaya is not a Muslim, that means all Sunnis are not Muslims, isn't it? And then we will face problem because we have other traditions which contradict this. And it would bring lots of theological implications with it. So, how we can actually understand this is that wilaya and shahadatu an la ilaha illallah are the same thing. However, how do you say la ilaha illallah while you do not know Allah? Who is Allah? What is Allah? You say la ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, but what is Allah? Who is Allah? We have learned Allah from the mouth of the Prophet and his successors. Through them we know what Allah is, isn't it? We don't really know what is Allah. We just have a very vague idea. He's our creator. Okay. He's beyond our imagination. Some of us think, and others think that no, he's not beyond our imagination. We can imagine him. And he has, say, for example, features like human beings. Some Muslims think like that. But anyhow, as long as we say, okay, we believe in whatever the Prophet believed as God, or whatever A'imma believed as God, that's enough. Now, let me bring you the very beautiful example of the Quran. Very clever magicians of Musa, of Pharaoh, when they wanted to believe, قالوا آمنا برب العالمين. Now they didn't know what رب العالمين is at all. They did not believe that the world together has one Rab, one Lord. They thought that every compartment of this creation has one Lord. And Pharaoh was one Lord, there were other Lords, there were Lords who had passed away. So they thought that that the world doesn't have one Rab, one Lord. Now when they said قالوا آمنا برب العالمين, that's at the end of their lives, because tomorrow they were going to be killed. Up till now, they were not worshipping Rabbul Alameen. And they didn't have that concept even. They didn't believe in that concept. Now, Musa asked Pharaoh, and probably have asked them as well. Qala Pharaoh, wa ma Rabbul Alameen? What is Rabbul Alameen? We do not believe in such a concept. Now, when they were asked, what is Rabbul Alameen that you believe in? Qalu Rabb Musa wa Harun. Whatever Musa and Harun say, we believe in that. And actually, that's very safe. That's very safe. Because then, later on, when we go to the next world, inshallah, and the angels ask us, what Lord you believe in? We say the Lord of Muhammad. Just keep away. We believe in that Lord. We don't know about the complications. You have to teach us. You have to teach us. We don't know. Okay? So, it is, actually, these two are the same thing, walaya and shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. The A'imma are actually alluded to the fact that if you want to know Allah, you have to learn from us. Man aradallaha, in ziyarat jama'a we have man aradallaha bada'a bikum. Wa man wahadahu qabla ankum. Whoever has an intention to go to the Lord should start with you. And whoever believes in Tawheed has taken it from you. Because we don't have that certainly deep understanding. Therefore, it's the same thing. Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah and the four other pillars. Now, in Kulayni, we have a hadith that says, سَأَلَ رَجُلٌ أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَمَا الْفَرْقِ بَيْنَهُمَا. A man asked Imam al-Sadiq about the difference between Islam and Iman. He replied, Islam is the manifest faith on which most people are. What is that? شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Now, this is a Shi'i source. You see, it's not wilaya, it's shahada, isn't it? It's just testament to Allah's unity and, of course, messengership of the Prophet. And then, iqam salat, performing salat, paying zakat, pilgrimage to the house, and fasting the Ramadan. This is Islam. This is Islam. Whoever performs this, no matter whether they are Shi'i or Sunni, or they are sinners or non-sinners, or liars or non-liars, or whatever. Whoever performs these five, we regard them as Muslim. This is the lowest level of faith. So whoever is actually not performing some of these, as I said, they are partially Muslims. They are not fully Muslim. What happens to them? Inshallah, we hope in this hadith, من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Whoever said لا إله إلا الله will enter paradise. However, there are other traditions which would complicate this a little bit because they say the hadith says من قال لا إله إلا الله مخلصا دخل الجنة. Whoever says لا إله إلا الله sincerely, and then the Imam asks, what is that sincerity? He says to obey God. So it's not just saying لا إله إلا الله. Anyhow, we are not going to judge. We hope that everyone would be saved, inshallah. However, these are the five. وَقَالَ الْإِيمَانِ مَعْرِفَةُ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ مَعَ هَذَا. This is some, but Iman is in addition to that, to know this matter. And this matter is, of course, the matter of wilaya and imamah. So, Islam is this. Whoever does these and believe in La ilaha illallah, do the four pillars of worship, that's Muslim. Then if in addition to that, they believe in wilaya of A'imma alayhim as-salam, they say that's Iman, because that wilaya entails other things, which we will explain later on. Now, there was this argument all the time, those who do not believe in A'imma, are they Muslim or not Muslim? Imam is very nicely argue here that you cannot say that they are not Muslim. If you say that, you have refuted yourself. Now, he says that, so if someone acknowledges those but does not know this matter, he is a Muslim but he is misguided. Kana dhalan. We cannot say he is not a Muslim. So when we say Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat, actually we are praying even for the lowest level of people who have faith but probably do not know A'imma, who have faith but probably do not have that sort of commitment which a true mu'min should have. We pray for them as well. And of course we all hope that the shafa'ah of the Prophet would include all Muslimin, all the ummah, except of course the vicious ones, on the day of judgment for them to be saved to paradise, inshallah. Now, at the end of Surah Hujurat, towards the end of Surah, we have a verse about the Bedouins who came to the Prophet and said that we have believed now in Islam. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا فمن زعم أنهم آمنوا فقد كذب ومن زعم أنهم لم يسلموا فقد كذب. This is a very, very beautiful, intelligent argument.
the Imam giving to his extremist followers, that they believe that the non-Shias are not Muslims. Now, he says that, okay, this verse, Kulayni, Abu Basir asks from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam about the verse, the Bedouin say, we have faith, say you do not have faith yet, rather say we have embraced Islam. So now here there is a differentiation in the Quran between Islam and Iman, between faith and just submission, submitting to the Prophet. Say we have embraced Islam, for faith has not yet entered into your hearts. That's possible. Now, these people prayed, these people paid zakat, these people fasted Ramadan, and of course pilgrimage, yet they had to wait to go with, to pilgrim with the Prophet, peace be on him. So they had accepted all these and they were doing it. Now the Quran says, O Prophet, tell them, if faith has not entered your heart yet, it's just the initial encounter and you have accepted certain things. You have accepted to follow certain things. That's all. Now, Imam says that Now, Abu Basir says, after reciting this verse, I heard Imam al-Baqir saying, whoever thinks that they have faith has lied. So if you think that people who just embrace Islam, initially they are mu'minun, they have lied. And there were, of course, this Murji'ah and others who believe that all these are mu'minun. And whoever, that's Shia extremists, think that they have not embraced Islam has lied. And also Khawarij and Shia extremists, they thought that they are not, whoever does not comply fully with all the rulings of Islam is not a Muslim. And Imam says they have lied. So Islam is a very, very superficial encounter with the religion, accepting those five things to be performed by the person. That's all. And faith, of course, gradually would enter the heart after that. Now, what are qualities of a Muslim? Certainly, these are not very hard things. Not very hard. We do not have those qualities of muqneen, at-taslimu lillah, wa rida bi qada'i Allah, wa tawakkulu ala Allah. These things, of course, was for muqneen. For Muslimin, what are the qualities of a Muslim? So, apart from those five, al-Muslim man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadi. A Muslim is one who the Muslims are, other Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. The first one is very difficult. The second one is fine. We usually do not practice violence against others. So Muslims and others are safe from our hands. But from the tongues, and that shows that even the lowest state of religion, you have certain codes which you have to follow to be regarded as a true Muslim, as a true, as truly having this lowest state of faith. And to be safe from one's tongue is that they do not slander against someone, they do not backbite, they do not produce lies against other people. And unfortunately, this we see even in some of the mu'minun, let alone Muslimun, that they do. And this is that lowest degree of the least requirements of religious people. Now, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, al-Muslim man salim al-nas min yadihi wa lisani, the same thing. Muslim is one who, now, I put Muslim with small m to differentiate him from Muslim, that's someone who affiliates to Islam, because all of us affiliate to Islam. So this is the lowest state we mean by this small m Muslim.
is one who the people are saved from his tongue and his hand. And a mu'min, the difference, is one who people trust him on their lives and properties. So one is a negative sort of quality, the other one is a positive quality. We may feel safe from someone, but we may not trust them for certain purposes. However, for mu'min, because mu'min is from amn, Imam is using this actually, salm, which is safety, and amn, which is trust, security. So using this, giving this difference between Islam and Iman. And, of course, the importance of Ummah. Al-Muslim, Akhul Muslim. A Muslim is brother to Muslim. Regardless of what affiliation they have, they are Shia, Sunni, whatever, what levels of faith they are in, they are brothers. Al-Muslim, Akhul Muslim. La yadhlimuhu wa la yashtimuhu. Would not wrong him and would not swear at him. These are, of course, very broad codes of akhlaq, not very difficult ones. Yes. Yeah, it's more relaxed. It's more relaxed because that sense of brotherhood, the religious brotherhood, is not there. So there are obligations, certainly, towards non-Muslims. However, it is not as strict as this one. For example, of course, you cannot say lie about other people and other things. Here, probably all these traditions, because they are addressed to the community of Muslims, they haven't talked about other things. But in other traditions, like, for example, in the famous tradition, in the famous letter of Imam Ali to Malik Ashtar, that they are either your brethren in faith or your similar in creation. So you have to respect that as well. So maybe the same thing. Maybe the same thing. Dhulm, for example, or swearing at someone who's not a Muslim, is not allowed. However, because these traditions are mainly addressed to the Muslim community, they have come like this. Yeah. Okay. The other thing, betrayal. Betrayal of trust. That is a violation of Islam. Keep away from treachery, for it keeps away from Islam. Whether it's betrayal of your community, betrayal of your friends, betrayal of anyone. Being treacherous is contrary to Islam. And also, من أعان على مسلم فقد برأ من الإسلام. Whoever helps wronging a Muslim has disowned Islam. Again, someone wants to wrong a Muslim, we help them. Whether Muslim or non-Muslim, someone wants to wrong a Muslim. And those oppressors or wrongdoers, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim, if we help them, then of course we have kept away from Islam, bara'a min al-Islam. Also, again, that sense of ummah, al-Muslimun yadun ala ma sawahum. The Muslims, should be the Muslims, act like one hand over others who attack them, who want to defeat them, who put propaganda against them. They act as one hand. And the same thing, al-Muslimun kar-rajul al-wahid idha ishtaka udhwun min a'dahi tada'a lahu. Muslims are like one person. If a limb is in pain, other parts of his body would sink down for it or would feel the same pain for that. Now you see, it's all the sense of being brothers, the sense of doing things for one purpose. not very difficult sort of codes of akhlaq is here, because this is the lowest level of faith. As we want to move up to the higher levels of faith, then of course it will become more difficult, more strict, and stronger codes of akhlaq will find there, like what we find in Mu'minun and then in Muttaqun. In Muqinin, of course, we studied and examined that. Okay, before going to Iman, any question? Yes. Yeah, so you are telling me that the Muslims do not even observe the lowest, the minimum code of Islam, isn't it? So, first of all, you shouldn't tell your secrets to anyone. Because the first person who has betrayed you is yourself, if you tell your secret to someone. And yeah, that's the case. You know why Jews are so much slammed in the Quran? Because they did not observe the minimum, least requirement of their faith, isn't it? Now, if we are like that, God help us. We would be included in that condemnation. That's not only for Jews, that's not only for other religions. If we act the same, in the same manner, we will be treated by God in the same manner. So, the point is that we have no control over others, do we? We have no control over others. The only person who is in our control is our own self. So we have to try to protect ourselves against these evils, and then whatever others do, that's not in our hands. And we are not going to be judged by their actions, certainly. So I think if everyone thinks about purifying and elevating the level of akhlaq personally, then things would become better. We shouldn't look at other people's behavior. Yeah. وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. That's possible. Surah says if two groups of Muslims fight against each other, so it happens, certainly. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. Try to make peace between them. وَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. If one wrongs the other, you go and support those who are wronged. فَقَاتُلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيَا إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Fight those oppressors, wrongdoers among Muslims until they come back to Amrullah. So it means this happens. I mean, what about the war of Muawiyah against Imam Ali? They were Muslims. All of them were Muslims, okay? But fitna, they created fitna, and then they dragged Muslims along to come and fight. And in that case, of course, your duty is to fight. You cannot say that, okay, because they are Muslim brothers. This is what actually Abu Musa Ash'ari was saying in the battle, that we are all Muslim brothers, why should we fight? And that meant Amirul Mu'minin should just submit and give Khilafah to Muawiyah. But that was not right. So we always have to have, when these skirmishes and troubles happen in Muslim world, we have to think that who's right, who's wrong? Who's oppressing, who's being oppressed? And then we have the duty. But by duty, I don't mean individually we have the duty, because these addresses are usually to communities. Then other communities of Muslims have the duty to go and help the oppressor. In the case of Iran-Iraq war, all Muslim communities, that's Muslim nations, they supported Iraq, isn't it? What will happen? We don't know. Allah will judge later on. Now, before coming to Iman, any other question about this state of Islam? Yes. Well, when we say zakat, of course, khums is included. That's paying charity. Okay, zakat. It's paying charity. Homs is included in that as well. Yeah. How about technical issues of what would be subject to zakat? What sort of property? That's a different issue. That's what fiqh should tell us. What sort of property, to what degree would be subject to zakat? No, technical, because of course, initially when you become Muslim without the faith, the religion does not require you to pay charity, okay? They require you to pay willingly or unwillingly the amount that you have to pay from your property. And this is what the tax collectors, zakat collectors, they went, they examined the amount of property, and they said, this is the zakat, and they collected it. And they had to give the zakat. They used to give, and most of them actually took this as a burden on themselves. However, they had to give the zakat. They had accepted it. So the concept is a bit blurred nowadays. It is put at people's own choice. But usually the government collects zakat. The Muslim government collects zakat for the poor. And this is different from tax, because tax is not used purely for the poor. It may be used for building roads, other things, but zakat is a different issue. Okay? Yes. Mm-hmm. Wala initially means bond of friendship or bond of obedience. Okay. Now, here we may say this is obedience to whatever Prophet says, or it means obedience in terms of the shahadatain that we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And knowing Allah is only possible through the Prophets and through the A'imah. So that wilaya, which is at this level, means that you accept Allah by the definition of the Prophets or by the definition of Imam Ali Musallam. Okay, let's go now to Iman. Now, Iman is very difficult to explain, to define. Islam was very easy to define. There are five things. You either perform them or not perform them. You are Muslim or non-Muslim or partial Muslim. But Iman is very difficult to define. You remember what we said about yaqeen, that iman is permanent, steady in the heart, but yaqeen sometimes comes and goes in a fleeting way. When it comes, it makes the heart like rocks, strong rocks. And when it goes, the heart becomes as weak as a piece of used cloth. Now, iman is also the same thing. We sometimes have iman and sometimes don't have iman. We mu'minun, sometimes it comes and sometimes it goes. Until it gets steady, established in the heart. And when it gets established, it shows itself, it manifests itself in all your actions. And still then, when a person suddenly, out of some sort of spontaneous reaction, does something wrong, does a grave sin, for example, iman goes away, and when they repent, it comes back. So it's different from, absolutely different from Islam. Now let's see how it works. Now what is iman? Hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam said, Qala li Rasulullah, the Prophet said, told me, write, O Ali. You know that Ali, every morning, every evening, he went to the Prophet and he used to write whatever he heard from the Prophet, peace be on him. And this is what constitutes Kitab Ali, which is, of course, not lost from us. We don't have it now. And Imam says that whenever I had questions, I asked him. Whenever I didn't have questions, he told me, he started teaching me, and probably this is one of those occasions that Amir al-Mu'min went to the Prophet with his pen and paper And the Prophet said, write. Write, O Ali. What is this? What should I write? Now, the difference between Iman and Islam, it means that this is a very, very important concept here. Write, O Ali. I said, what to write? He said, write in the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, that Iman is that which is revered in the heart and is confirmed by the acts. And Islam is what flows on the tongue, and marriage is allowed because of it. It's a social issue. You say, I'm a Muslim. Then we say, okay, you can marry our daughter, or we can marry your daughter. That's how it goes. We eat your food, you eat our food. We regard you as pure. And we don't investigate more than that. But Iman is what is revered in the heart. It's very different. So, what is that which is revered in the heart? Imam al-Sadiq was asked by Abu Basir about Iman. He said, Iman is that God is not disobeyed. Al-Iman billah Allah yu'sa, that God is not disobeyed. Now, you may find someone who's a Muslim, prays, fast, those five pillars, okay? But they may lie, they may backbite, they may wrong other people. So they are still Muslim, but they are not mu'min. Here Imam says, Al-Iman billah Allah yu'sa, God should not be disobeyed. This is Iman. So wherever God is disobeyed, that means Iman would leave. And then it comes back. After repentance, it comes. It leaves and leaves you as a Muslim. It leaves you as a Muslim. And God forbid, if this happens at the moment of death, Iman leaves and we die and it doesn't come back. We disobey, we are in disobedience of God, for example, Iman leaves and it doesn't come back because we die. And we die as a Muslim, not as a mu'min. So, Iman billah Allah yu'sa. Qultu famal Islam. Qala man nasaka nusukana. Whoever worships our worship. That's the four. Whoever worships our worship. Wadabaha dhabihatana. And eats halal food. Okay. And slaughters our slaughtery. Whoever eats halal food. Sells halal food. And worship our worship is a Muslim. But if they disobey God, they are not mu'min. They are just Muslim. Iman Allah yu'sallah. Now, does anyone have any difficulty in understanding this? Because usually we regard people who pray and fast to be mu'minun. And inshallah, all of them are mu'minun. However, there's a very delicate difference between the two. Very delicate difference. That disobedience of God would take the person out of Iman. And that's why, for example, a Muslim cannot lead Salatul Jama'ah. Isn't it? A mu'min should lead Salatul Jama'ah. That's why Shias are very fussy about that, isn't it? That's the prayer leader should be adil, should have adala. And adala is that sense of not disobeying God. Isn't that the definition of adala? That they should not disobey God. So they should be mu'min. Not Muslim, just Muslim. In Ahlul Sunnah, they should just be Muslim. Iman is not a condition. In Shia, Iman is a condition for leader of Jama'ah. Now, that doesn't mean that leader of Jama'ah prayers never sin. The important thing is that they repent when they sin. Iman comes back to them. Yes, please. No. Yeah. You see, so for example, if someone drinks wine, okay, with alcohol, or disregards the codes of Islam, we can tell them, yeah, you don't have Iman. You can tell them, because this is a very clear fest. They may say, we believe in God. Okay,
You believe in God, but you do not commit to that belief. Because iman is commitment, not just believing. So we can say that. But if someone does not disobey God in front of us, or when we are, others are present, we cannot tell whether they have iman or they don't have iman. Yeah. Okay. Now, again, actually, the Prophet is somehow upping the ante, bringing the conditions a bit, making them more restrict. أَلَيْسَ الْإِيمَانَ بِالتَّحَلِّي وَلَا بِالتَّمَنِّي وَلَكِنَ الْإِيمَانَ مَا خَلُصَ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَصَدَّقَهُ الْأَعْمَالِ. The Prophet said, iman is not gained by adornment or ambition, but is what purifies in the heart and is confirmed by actions. It's something which, as the hadith said, is revealed in the heart. And then it grows and it purifies. And then your actions would confirm that it is there. It cannot be separated from actions. Now, can you tell me about companions of the Prophet? Would you think all of them were mu'minun, or some of them were muslimun and some were mu'minun? Yeah, isn't it? The Quran tells us, I mean, those Bedouins who came to the Prophet, according to definition, whoever comes to the Prophet sees the Prophet while believing in him, submitting to him, like these Arab Bedouins, he's a companion of the Prophet, according to definition. Now, the Quran says some of the companions of the Prophet are not mu'min yet. And some of them, iman never entered their hearts. They were just superficially Muslims. So this whole this issue about all the companions of the Prophet are the chosen generation and these things is a bit of exaggeration. Not a bit of exaggeration, actually a lot of exaggeration is involved in that. Okay, but of course we had very strong mu'minun among the companions of the Prophet as well. I mean, all those shuhada in Badr and Uhud and Khandaq, they were very highly, with very high quality of iman they had in their hearts. No, munafiq is not a Muslim. Munafiq is just someone who shows faith, but hides disbelief. Munafiq. But yes, according to social relations, you should treat them as Muslims. You have no other choice. That's how the Prophet treated them, as Muslims. Yeah. But they are not Muslims, actually. Not even Muslims. Let alone mu'min. They are not even Muslims, because they are just showing off Islam, and the heart is different inside. Now, look at this one. Now, we have a bit of discussion about faith today. A bit complicated. You have to bear with me. Now, Amirul Mu'minin says, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يَبْدُو لُمْذَةً بَيْضَاءَ فِي الْقَلْبِ. Iman initially appears as a white spot on the heart. Now, of course, it doesn't mean your heart would have a higher white spot, and if you, for example, go to radiography, you will see that white spot there. Heart here means the soul, and that white spot means the light of guidance. The light of guidance is shed on your soul. A small window, a small hole through which you can connect to the supernatural world. This is the beginning of your connection with the world beyond. The beginning of the connection with the world beyond is faith. Now, look at the hadith that Amirul Mu'minin says, that when he was asked, have you seen the Lord? And he said, I never have worshipped a Lord that I have not seen. And then he said, but don't make a mistake. لا تدركه الأبصار بمكاشفة العيون. The eyes cannot see him ولكن تدركه القلوب بحقائق الإيمان. This حقائق الإيمان. The different levels and realities of faith. This is how God is grasped. That is the faculty which gets God, which comprehends. Of course, God cannot be comprehended fully, but that is what connects us to God. So it starts like a wide spot on the heart. As the iman grows bigger, the whiteness increases, and when the iman is complete, the whole heart turns white. That's the whole soul, actually, is enlightened by the light of God. Now, that's, of course, when yaqeen comes, and when people turn into muqarrabun, and other type of knowledge would come in, which we'll discuss shortly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adornment means that you adorn yourself with something which you don't have. It's just a makeup. Ambition is that you would like to become a mu'min, but you do things which are contrary to that. It doesn't come with ambition or you aspire to be a mu'min. No. It is something which your actions should confirm. It is something that should be sincerely there in the heart. Now, okay, let's get to the core of the matter. Iman is an additional spirit added to you. An additional spirit. And this spirit would visit you, and at times it would leave you. Now look at this. This is too small, isn't it? Now again, the hadith is in Kulayni, in Al-Kafi. Actually, the book Al-Kafi initially, because Kulayni didn't give any book to any title to the book, so it was called Kulayni, Kulayni's book. Then, of course, later on, it was called Al-Kafi. So that's why I always say Kulayni. It's the author, okay? From Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. He says that سَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ عِلْمِ الْعَالِمِ I asked him about the knowledge of the alim. That's the Imam. Because we say that Imam has an encompassing knowledge. That, for example, he can know things about the beginning of creation, about what will happen in future, how this works, where this knowledge comes from. Does that mean that, for example, Allah is revealing and revealing and revealing every incident in the past, in the future to them? Or is a type of comprehension? Just like, for example, you see, now I'm talking. I smell things. I see all of you. I can spot everyone. I can hear all of you. And is this the case that Allah is at every instance is pumping this into me or no? There is something in me which comprehends all these things together. That's a ruh. That's what we call a ruh. A type of ruh, okay? That's a type of ruh. It comprehends everything. It actually collects from different senses whatever I experience, and put them in one package and gives it to me. I understand it. Now, what about, is there a higher degree of knowledge? That's, for example, it goes beyond time and space. It goes beyond that. I can comprehend things. The same thing that I'm comprehending things which are here, I can comprehend things which happened in the past, which will happen in the future. Is it possible? Well, of course it's possible. Allah can teach that to anyone. Now, here, he says, سَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ عِلْمِ الْعَالِمِ I asked him about the knowledge of the alim. He replied, فَقَالَ لِي يَا جَابِرْ إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ وَالْإِنَّ فِي الْأَنْبِيَاءَ وَالْأَوْسِيَاءَ خَمْسَةُ أَرْوَاحُ The prophets and the successors have five spirits. Now, spirits, we may call it faculties. However, these are not physical faculties. These are faculties which go a bit beyond material thing. It brings material experiences together, so to speak. Now,
What are these five spirits? Holy Spirit, Ruhul Qudus, what Isa was said to be supported with in the Quran. Holy Spirit, and the spirit of Iman, Ruhul Iman, and the spirit of life, Ruhul Hayat. This Ruhul Hayat is what we comprehend by it different things. That's Ruhul Hayat. That's, you see, the whole process of hearing, for example, is a physical process. But what grasps it? What brings it out of my physical cells and understands it? And the same thing is vision. They say, this Ruhul Hayat is that comprehending thing in us, which we call nafs. Okay? Now, then they have Ruhul Qudus, Ruhul Iman, Ruhul Hayat, Ruhul Quwwah, spirit of power, which moves the muscles. That's the spirit of power. And the spirit of appetite, which moves the appetite and desire. It is through the Holy Spirit that they know what is below the arsh down to what is below the earth. That it's through this Ruhul Hayat, it's through this Ruhul Hayat that I know what is happening here now. I hear you, I see you, I can judge, for example, about what you say, I can sort of refute or agree with you. This is Ruhul Hayat. Now, Imam says that there is one other higher level of this Ruh, which makes us to understand what is below the ash down to the bottom of the earth. We see them just as you see things now here. However, of course, if I want to actually know, for example, if I want to know what you are doing at the moment, I have to pay some sort of attention, isn't it? The same thing for them. If they want to know what is happening or what was happening or what will be happening at certain time, it's a general understanding of things which need attention. This is what we have in other traditions, al-imam idha sha'an. Ya'alam alim, Imam, whenever he wants to know, he knows. That means he directs attention to things. And in this way, we also understand a little bit about the knowledge of God, which is all-encompassing, penetrates everything. It penetrates everything. Now, this Ruh is created by God, whether this Ruhul Hayat or that Ruhul Qudus is created by God. And therefore, the knowledge comes through that. Limited knowledge for us, huge knowledge for them. Of course, that's as well limited, but it's huge, huge knowledge. Now, why I said this, of course, our discussion is not about knowledge of Imam now. The discussion is about this Ruhul Iman. What does Ruhul Iman do here? What does Ruhul Iman do here? Anyone knows what does Ruhul Iman do here? They have Ruhul Qudus, by which they know. Then they have Ruhul Hayat, by which they are human beings like us, they know things here. And that's Ruhul Iman in the middle. And of course there are other physical things, Ruhul Qubba, Ruhul Shahwa. Now let's see. Then he said, O Jabir, those four spirits are affected by contingencies. هذه الأربعة الأرواح يصيبها الحدثان. They go weak, they go strong, you may lose some of them. But the Holy Spirit is never diverted nor play. It's a serious thing. It's not just like what we have. Sometimes simpleton people, for example, they say, well, the Quran says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ I'm a human being like you, so human being like us should make mistakes, should sin, the knowledge is limited. Yes, of course, but we do not realize that human beings can have different levels of humanness, so to speak. Different levels of humanness. And that level of having that spirit. Now, there are certain people who don't have Ruhul Qudus, of course, majority. There are certain people who don't have Ruhul Iman. And these three other, Ruhul Hayat, Ruhul Quwwah, Ruhul Shahwa, everyone has. Unless if they are born huge disabilities, or when they get older, they lose gradually this, all these things, these powers and faculties that they are given. Now, the same thing, again, Kulayni reports from Mufazzal ibn Umar. He says that I asked Imam al-Sadiq about knowledge of Imam. Again, the same thing. Now, of course, it's all related to knowledge, but it brings in Ruhul Iman. It's bringing more explanation about that. I asked him about how the Imam knows what happens all over the earth when he's in his house with the curtains lowered. How does he know it? What sort of mechanism is there? It's not all the time Jibreel coming and telling. Of course, that's one mechanism as well, but it's a bit more than that. Or even how do they grasp Jibreel? How do they see Jibreel? There should be something extra in them. Now, فَقَالَ يَا مُفَضَّلِ, he said, "Oh Mufaddal, Allah the Blessed, the Sublime, has put five spirits or arwah in the Prophet. It's Ruhul Hayat, the spirit of life by which he moves and comes and goes. He dabba wa daraj. Ruhul Quwwa, fabihi nahata wa jahad, the spirit of power by which he stands and struggles. Ruhul Shahwa, fabihi akala wa sharaba wa ata nisa'a min al halal, the spirit of appetite by which he eats and drinks and goes to women lawfully. And Ruhul Iman. Now here there's an explanation of Ruhul Iman. Ruhul Iman, fabihi amana wa adal, the spirit of Iman by which he accepts the faith and acts justly. Now, this acting justly means that he does not disobey God. He has that acceptance in the heart, which is the purity, ikhlas. And Ruhul Qudus fabihi hamala nubuwa, the Holy Spirit by which he bears the prophethood. Now, at the end of Surah Shura, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابِ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. In this way we have revealed to you a ruh from our command. Before that you didn't know what is book, what is iman. Now you know what is iman. Now we have iman, but you know what is iman. But Prophet knows what is iman and knows what acts constitute iman as well. Also, in Surah Mu'min, يُلْقِ الرُّوحَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ أَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ لِيُنْذَرَ يَوْمَ التَّلَاقِ. He throws ruh over any of his servants that he wills, so that he would warn the day of meeting. So it's through this ruh that فَبِهِ حَمَلَ النُّبُوَّةِ. It's through this ruh. These are all confirmed by the Quran. It's through this ruh that they carry the prophethood. And then he says, فَإِذَا قُبِضَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أُنْتُقِلَ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ فَصَارَ إِلَى الْإِمَامِ. When the Prophet is taken away, the Holy Spirit is transferred to the Imam. And the Imam becomes knowledgeable as, and the previous Imam as well. Now, then there is an explanation about Ruhul Qudus. وَرُوحُ الْقُدُسِ لَا يَنَامُ وَلَا يَغْفَلُ وَلَا يَلْهُ وَلَا يَسْهُ وَالْأَرْبَعَةُ الْأَرْوَاحُ تَنَامُ وَتَغْفَلُ وَتَسْهُ وَتَلْهُ. وَرُوحُ الْقُدُسِ كَانَ يُرَابِحُ. The Holy Spirit does not sleep, nor does it become neglectful. It is not diverted, nor does it falsely display, show off. But the other four spirits sleep, are neglectful, falsely display themselves, and are diverted. It was through the Holy Spirit that he saw everything, the Prophet. And we see everything, actually. So, okay, we are not concerned about this Holy Spirit. Our concern is now this Ruhul Iman, which comes to certain people. Now, this spirit of Iman defies disobedience. That means if you disobey, the spirit of Iman is taken away from you. It comes and it goes. The Prophet said, the fornicator does not fornicate having faith while fornicating. The thief, now these are Muslims, okay? The thief does not commit theft having faith while stealing, and he does not drink wine having faith while drinking it. However, the repentance is offered after that. That means there is the possibility that repentance will bring back that Ruhul Iman to the heart. And then again, it would prevent you from disobedience. Now, this hadith, لا يزنى الزاني وهو مؤمن, لا يسرق السارق حين يسرق وهو مؤمن, this is very famous from the Prophet. Now, the meaning of it was quite vague for companions of A'imma al-Muslim. What does it mean? Because we know mu'minun that, for example, they do steal. And they believe, well, sometimes they do steal out of need or whatever, out of youngish attitudes, so for example. Now, Zurar asked Imam about the statement of the Prophet, the fornicator does not fornicate having faith. He said, not until the spirit of Iman is taken away from him. That is the meaning of it. The spirit of Iman tries to put a stop on this, resists that. Now, if the person's power, that Ruh Shahwa, overpowers the spirit of faith and he commits these sins, then their spirit of Iman goes away and it comes back. Now, what that spirit is, probably something which is very, very difficult to fathom the depth of it. Now, let me finish with this one as well. I know you are tired. At the end of Surah Mujadila, we have that you do not find a mu'min that would prefer his relatives over God. They prefer God over their relatives. And then it says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ لِمَنْ. These are the ones in whose heart Allah has written faith. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. And he has supported them with a spirit from him. A spirit comes from Allah and would support them. Just like Holy Spirit supports Isa and prophets, this spirit comes and supports Mu'minun. Now here, Imam al-Baqir al-Sam was asked about, again, the same thing. إِذَا زَنَ الرَّجُلُ فَارَغَهُ رُوحُ الْإِيمَانِ. When the man fornicates, the spirit of Iman leaves him. He said, this is the word of God. This is what you find in the Quran. Strengthen them with the spirit from him. This is what Allah says. The mu'minun are strengthened with the spirit from him. And of course, if they disobey, this spirit is taken away. It leaves them. That is what leaves them. And this is a reference to the following hadith, as a following verse, which I mentioned. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم. You can read that yourself. Okay, we leave this now for next week, inshallah. Any question? That's a different sort of angle of looking at nafs, okay? Now, nafs ammara is the nafs with this ruhul iman, which actually blames if someone wants to commit a sin. As long as the person can resist, nafs ammara is in work. Then, of course, the person may commit something which nafs ammara cannot actually stop them. Until the nafs gets into that established state, nafs mutma'inna, that is when ruhul iman is established completely in the person and it cannot leave anymore. That is, of course, the higher state of establishment. However, nafsul ammara is a nafs which ruhul iman flickers, comes and goes. Nafsa Ammara is just something which cause us to do evil things. It's the lawama which has this ruh al faith. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Yeah. Generally, practicing faith, that means doing good things. As the hadith said, saddaqahu al-iman, the actions confirm what is in the heart. So the actions not only confirm, it would somehow increase what is in the heart. So all good actions would help us to increase iman. All good actions. Okay? No more questions? Of course, we have duty towards everyone. This is a famous hadith from the Prophet that a woman may go to hell for a cat which she had imprisoned in this world. I mean, any, even a fly. I mean, flies, we have the right to protect ourselves against them. But if, for example, we wrongfully harm them, okay, not for protection, for pleasure, for example, that would have its punishment. Any animal, I mean, it's the same thing. And the punishment comes in this world and in the next world. Yeah. This is about animals, you can talk about plants, and you can talk about other human beings as well. Yeah. Jen, I don't think we can wrong Jen anyhow. The law is that you never get involved in such activities. That's the law. Yeah. Yes. In order to what, sorry? Both. I mean, animals have rights. I mean, we usually think that animals do not understand anything. They have no rights. They could be treated any way that we wish. But when we look into the Quran and traditions, we see that that's not the case. I mean, for example, Suleiman says, I would punish Hudhud the Hoopy because of his absence. Not just because I wish to do it. Or he would bring me a good proof that why it has been absent, for example. So even ants, for example, the Quran says they have intelligence, they can understand things, they communicate with each other. We are actually a bit arrogant about our status. We think that we have right to use everything. Now, right has been given to us to, for example, eat certain animals, as it's given to other animals to eat certain other animals. However, not by, for example, torturing them, not by violating certain laws. It should be in the name of God, because God has allowed us to do that. There are certain codes that we have to follow before we could do that. So, and these animals will be resurrected on the day of judgment as well, anyhow. And I don't know what these sheep and cows would say when they see us, that we have eaten them, but they will be resurrected as well. And if we mistreat them, the same punishment would come to us as well. Yeah. And of course, every sin, as we saw, every sin means that Ruhul Iman would leave before you commit that sin. It's as easy as that. Yes. Generally, the ruh typically is very difficult to understand. What is this Ruhul Qudus? What is Ruhul Iman? It's very, very difficult to understand. We don't have any knowledge about it. We just know that they exist and they connect to us. That's all. We don't have any knowledge about the nature of the ruh, which is beyond angels. They say that the ruh, as the angels manage this world, the ruh manages the world of angels. So it's one category above the angels. However, we as human beings can connect to it. Now, the prophets in a certain way, and we ordinary human beings with iman, we can connect to it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 Now, knowing everything, I mean, at the same time, it's probably not possible for humans, but for God, yes. But for human beings, when you pay attention to some part, it's very difficult to pay attention to other parts. So, yeah. I mean, they just divert their attention to that, and they know it. And certain human beings who somehow do spiritual exercise, they get almost a similar power, isn't it? They connect to somewhere which gives that power to them. Of course, it's a different connection. It's not a connection with that rule. It's a connection with a different power which gives them the ability to know. Yeah. Yes. Maybe. How could I say? That's probably because there are lots of discussions about the nature of ruh. That's probably the origin of all these arwah. That ruh is probably the origin of all these different types of arwah, which is somehow diluted as it comes to different arenas of creation. But the Quran says, you haven't been given much knowledge about ruh. We don't know. We really don't know. But that ruh comes to the earth. What does that mean? Because the ruh doesn't actually travel. The ruh is not physical. Maybe that would mean that the ruh will be somehow existing in human beings more than other nights, for example, on Laylatul Qadr. It may have many different meanings. Yeah. Okay? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Surah Shura. Surah Shura, what about it, sorry? Yeah. Yeah. The same Ruhul Qudus that Allah would throw at certain people makes them prophets. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.